This is Matt Connickson, your local sales agronomist at CHS Ag Services in Oakley, Minnesota. We're here to help you prepare for 2023. Contact us for your fertilizer, precision agriculture, and more.
Good afternoon, Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Don Wick with Sierra Doctor. We begin with Harvest Hotline. Harvest Hotline, a presentation of Pivot Bio, Ag Country Farm Credit Services, Amity Technology, and the North Dakota Mill. Northland Seed and Service owner Lee Dahl farms near Brockett, North Dakota, and he started his corn harvest yesterday.
So far the corn is looking like there's some really nice bushels out here, and the crop has progressed nicely towards this fall. We're a little wetter than we expected to be this time of year, but we also had a little bit later planting date than we're used to. So first field that started coming off yesterday was right around that 25 moisture mark. It's going to be a very slow start to corn, but we'll start into it.
With soybeans off the field, Dahl is already starting to think about next year.
So right now, as far as the progression goes, we're done with the soybean harvest, and that was a very good crop for us this year. We had adequate moisture. Some fields we were lacking a little bit, which showed with some of the yields that we had on the fields that had a little extra attention on the tillage side of things, and the fields that had a little bit more moisture had a lot more yield to accumulate too. But overall, a very good soybean crop for us. So we're kind of focused into getting the rest of the crop of corn off, and then looking at next year's inputs for fertilizer and seed, and looking towards 23 already.
Parts of northern North Dakota and into Minnesota received a little bit of snow yesterday and today. Crookston, Minnesota farmer Kevin Capistran says the flurries put a temporary halt on harvest.
So we're set up, ready to go on corn. The snow kind of pushed us back a day or two here maybe, but I think the corn's ready to go. Should be fairly dry, actually, and then on to sunflowers after that. The sugar beets are all in the pile, so making good progress on it.
Capistran is pleased with how the sugar beets have turned out so far.
So, I mean, versus historical averages, we had probably better sugar content and pretty decent yields. But when you consider how we planted them and when we planted them, it was really amazing the production we got, given, you know, we were planting essentially a month later than normal into far less than ideal conditions. And then September really wasn't very helpful either, as dry as it was. We really could have had a lot bigger crop had we gotten some rain in September, I think. So it's pretty amazing what that plant did this year.
The end certainly in sight for that sugar beet campaign. Seth Vanderhoff, sales manager Nick Revere, says the harvest has gone well.
A lot of guys are done. You know, they're finishing up. A lot of guys, if we can get a good harvest day today, they'll finish up as at-risk acres. There's a few guys that'll probably go into the first part of next week. But I would say by the middle of next week, we'll pretty much be done. So, you know, anytime that we can get done before the last week in October, we're happy.
Sugar beet yields are average, which is good considering the late planting date. The sugar content has improved in recent days.
Oh, well, we're seeing, you know, we started out in the, you know, 15, 16, and we're ending up to, you know, we're probably getting an average day of maybe 19 right now, with a few fields maybe a little above that. So with you take the early harvest and you average that with the with the 19 that we're getting the last couple 3 days, the average for the whole year is going to be pretty good.
Mount Vernon, South Dakota farmer Kevin Deinert says the crop this year is no bin buster.
Currently, we are just in the middle of our corn harvest right now, and generally the farmers around here are pretty well in the same boat. Bean harvest has fairly well wrapped up, and corn harvest is in full swing here. Corn in this area has been generally disappointing. We've been in a fairly consistent drought all summer and into the fall. Yields have come in about anywhere from half to a third of generally what the yields are for this area. So it's been disappointing, but we're thankful for what we do have out there.
And the soybean crop has came in below expectations too.
Those yields have generally were disappointing as well for many of the farmers around here. Again, soybeans ran probably around half of their normal yields around this area. We're seeing a fair amount of people's losses around South Central South Dakota.
North Dakota State University Extension agronomist Claire Keene says that corn crop is still in the process of drying.
Well, corn, for the most part, made it to maturity in most places a few weeks ago, and so it's drying down. Certainly the warm and windy weather before we turned cold here this week was really helping things dry down pretty quickly. And so earlier season things are ready to harvest. I know some people started harvesting last week and earlier this week. But now with the colder and wet weather, things will probably slow down a little bit.
Keene says farmers should make sure they prioritize fields where the corn, the hazard, the possibility of loss is coming their way due to high winds.
High winds, and then again, the corn just drying down so much with the very dry weather. That doesn't surprise me that some ears have fallen off, which, of course, you know, you can't pick that up with the combine, so it does result in yield loss. Certainly, you know, checking fields and prioritizing fields for harvest based on where you see the issue, like if it's happening more in a field, prioritizing that one to go first. Also just based on maturity, you know, your earlier maturing hybrids, taking those off first and just trying to prevent things from getting too dry.
Harvest Hotline brought to you by Ag Country Farm Credit Services, Amity Technology, the North Dakota Mill, and Pivot Bio.
Wind and, in some cases, snow has fallen in parts of the Dakotas and Minnesota. National Weather Service Grand Forks lead meteorologist Jim Kaiser says the tail end of a minor system is wrapping up today.
Well, we're seeing the remnants of a large upper wave bringing some rain and snow showers to eastern North Dakota, northwest Minnesota, and even into eastern South Dakota. Pretty wide expanse of cool temperatures with highs today in the upper 30s, low 40s for the eastern Dakotas. A little warmer and some sun in the western Dakotas with some 45-ish degree readings. We're still seeing very windy conditions, not as windy as the last couple days. You know, the western Dakotas saw those 50, 60 mile an hour gusts. We've kind of pushed that corridor of wind to the south.
The Mexican president has named a new economy minister and chief trade negotiator. The U.S. and Canada claim Mexico is violating the U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade agreement in a dispute over energy policy, and the new trade negotiator may signal a new direction in those negotiations.
China has purchased U.S. soybeans for the third straight day. Gulky Group President Jerry Gulky says U.S. soybean sales to China have been well below USDA projections.
They've been woefully behind, and all of a sudden, bam, they come into the market, and as if to say, your harvest is half over in the United States, and we couldn't break the market below 1350 in that area, and it's time probably to buy, because Brazil will be available a little bit earlier this year, but not until January. So, you know, that's another 3 or 4 months away, maybe 5 more months if they need the beans. We could be eventually the only place in town to buy them from.
As we get a better handle on harvest, Gulky is encouraging growers to monitor demand.
We've really got to keep an eye on the global market because, you know, China bought beans. They didn't buy any corn. They haven't bought corn in quite a while. They're way behind some of their targets that they have in place, and that's the one to look for.
With parts of the Mississippi River at record low levels, the cost to ship grain and fertilizer has gone through the roof. The cost to ship a ton of corn from St. Louis to southern Louisiana approached $106 this past week. That compares to $50 at the end of September, $28 1 year ago. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers is doing emergency dredging on some portions of the river to accommodate commercial traffic, but there is no end in sight for the low water problem.
Commercial shipments on the Mississippi River have been hurt by low water levels. Brugler Marketing President Alan Brugler says the freight rates are very high.
Some of the firms aren't even accepting any new bobbing, that is actual loadouts, commitments out of Mississippi or out of the Gulf because they just don't have the confidence they can get the bushels there.
Most of China's business is going through the Pacific Northwest, but the problems at the Gulf are influencing Chinese trade activity.
This morning's export sales report was disappointing, especially for corn and wheat. Midwest Market Solutions President Brian Hoops said supplies are tight, but the demand is the big question.
It's, you know, all about price discovery at this time. With the high shipping rates, high barge costs, it's going to be hard, I think, for corn, soybeans, and for wheat to remain price competitive. You go out into January, and you see that China can buy soybeans about $2 a bushel cheaper from Brazil or Argentina than what they can from the U.S. because of those high shipping costs.
Beef export sales have also been a disappointment.
We've been able to maintain our pork exports, but beef sales, they are languishing, struggling. Again, with the beef market, the economy is a factor that's going to cap rallies. Consumer spending will cap rallies, but we are running into tighter supplies, and that's keeping prices at a pretty firm foundational level.
Russian complaints about the humanitarian grain lane puts the future of Black Sea grain and fertilizer shipments at risk. The United Nations helped put this deal together in July to address global food insecurity issues. Russia is now seeking concessions from the UN and Ukraine and may let the agreement expire after the November 19th deadline. There are meetings scheduled next week in Moscow to discuss the shipping corridor agreement.
Clouds of soil has permeated the air the last few days due to the high winds. University of Minnesota Regional Extension educator Jody DeYoung Hughes says soil erosion this fall comes right down to tillage and the timing of harvest.
So if they've done tillage, especially full field tillage, then you know it just makes smaller particles when you do tillage. It kind of breaks up clods and aggregates and. And so those are easier to start lifting with wind. And erosion starts as soon as the wind gets around 13 miles an hour.
DeYoung Hughes recommends farmers think about spring tillage as an alternative.
To mitigate erosion, if they can move their tillage, fall tillage, to the spring and just do a lighter pass and something more with a coulter cart or vertical till versus, you know, something with a shank, that would be beneficial in the spring.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Joining me is Ag Week reporter Mikkel Pates. Mikkel, what's on the cover of Ag Week for next week?
Well, this is a story about a major agriculture company, ADM, getting into providing premiums for people doing what we call regenerative agriculture. I'm not sure how it's always defined, but this is a flax project. A fellow from Wolford, North Dakota, is one of the people growing for this, they call it Noble Grown, at ADM. And ADM is part of launched this program to get people that do special things for soil building get them a special market for consumer products that are produced in that way. So this Paul Overby up at Wolford, North Dakota, has kind of been a pioneer in no-till and other kinds of regenerative type farming, and he's producing for this market. And the flax then goes down to ADM's plant at Red Wing, Minnesota. And so that's a kind of an unusual new market for that kind of production. It is interesting that this is something that they hope will grow. It's connected or will be connected to federal programs.
Mikkel, it sounds interesting. Looking forward to reading about it in next week's Ag Week.
Checking markets, we're down 21 cents for Minneapolis wheat. The Dease contract, 958. Chicago wheat, December, down 31. KC wheat, down 27. Dease corn, down 7 and a quarter, 690 and a half. Nove beans, 10 and three quarter down, 1385. Live cattle, mixed, 45 lower for, or 45 higher for October, 146.90. Feeder cattle, down $1.20 for October, 173.55. The Dow trading down by 266 points. And the crude oil market, $3.32 lower. Have a great weekend. This is the Red River Farm Network.